wake up, put your shoes on, take a breath of the northern air, and rub those eyes.
Welcome back to Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider. We have a lot to get to today. Tebow, the Vikings schedule being released, Justin Jefferson's workouts, all that stuff. But we need to start today with Jeff's memories of Jerry Burns. I offered my favorite Jerry Burns story and some of my Jerry Burns memories at the beginning of my show on this network, Blocked and Muted with Jim Suhan. That'll be out by the time you hear this show. But Jeff worked closely with Jerry, and not just as a general manager, you know, of the Minnesota Vikings, but Jeff worked his way up through the organization while Jerry was a coach on the staff. So just start us off today, Jeff, telling me about Burnsy.
Yeah, I love Burnsy. He's one of my favorite all-time characters in my NFL years and a good friend over the years and spent a lot of time with him. We used to take a lot of staff trips back in the day and had a lot of fun with he and his wife, Marlon. Certainly very fun people. And as we said, an all-time character. And I just have great memories of him and just his personality. Our management box at old Met Stadium used to be right next to the coach's box. And we would watch him going crazy during games and stammering and couldn't remember players' names. And you go, hey, tell that number 10 to throw it here. And he's talking about Fran Tarkenton. it was really funny. And the players always played off some of his superstitions. They'd always plant coins on the practice field, because he was very superstitious. He'd only pick them up if they were heads up. And so it was just always a funny experience around Burnsy. Always had a laugh and a smile. And he could obviously, as our media friends and as you knew, he could get a little off color sometimes.
Yes.
In some of his press conferences. And those could be entertaining too. And he could fly off the handle. But he was certainly a people person. He was a great teacher of the game, very knowledgeable about obviously offensive football and really on the defensive side too, because he was a defensive back coach under Lombardi when they won their first two Super Bowls. So Burnsy had a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience, a lot of character traits. And I love Bud Grant's quotes about him yesterday. We're just talking about how important Burnsy was to Bud's career and how Bud actually held a spot on his original staff waiting for Burnsy to free up in Green Bay. And so just really fantastic memories of him. Sad to see him gone, but certainly at 94 lived a great, great life. And he will definitely be missed and is one of the great people in the Vikings organization, Vikings history.
And I think he should get a lot of credit for devising the offense that really predicated, you know, and led to the famous West Coast offense. He was the guy who said, give me a back who can catch the ball. Give me a quarterback who gets rid of the ball quickly. Let's move the ball. Let's use the short passing game as our running game, and let's keep defenses off balance. And really, that's exactly what Bill Walsh and other people ended up doing later and becoming more famous for.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And he had Chuck Foreman, of course, an all-pro running back here. And getting the ball to Chuck out of the backfield was really a big part of our offense back in that era of multiple Super Bowls and my first year, which was the last Super Bowl in Minnesota when we went to the Super Bowl in Pasadena against the Raiders and throwing the ball to Chuck out of the backfield and draws and screens and then play action with Tarkenton throwing downfield to Sammy White and Ahmad Rashad. And so, but again, built behind a solid offensive line that he knew was always important. And just that coaching staff was so outstanding. John Michaels is the offensive line coach. And of course, Bud and Burnsy as the offensive coordinator, and just so many other pieces of that team and that coaching staff, Neil Armstrong, the defensive coordinator. But Burnsy, really a key guy. And as you said, was a trailblazer in a lot of respects. Bill Walsh gets all the credit for the West Coast offense, but I agree with you. I think Burnsy really predicated it.
Yes, I will miss Burnsy. I really enjoyed my time covering him, being around him. Great storyteller. And as is the case so often, and it was more of the case back in the day, Burnsy was the guy you had who told great stories, you know, sitting around that would never make it into print. And he couldn't tell today because you're not in that situation. You're not sitting around shooting the breeze the way we used to with, you know, me and Burnsy and Wonger and people like that. So again, I tell one of my favorite stories, the beginning of Blocked and Muted with Jim Suhan, which is already out at TalkNorth.com. This is the TalkNorth.com podcast network. You can follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod to see all of our shows, outdoors and sports, as they are released. Wherever you listen, probably the best way to listen, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. You can always go to TalkNorth.com if that's where you want to listen. Thank you to our producer, Brandon Morton, and thank you to our longtime sponsors, White Bear Lake Superstore, WhiteBearLakeSuperstore.com. All right, let's get to, let's move on from the sad news and just get to more reality. The Vikings schedule is released, and it looks, you know, first glance, not knowing where Aaron Rodgers is going to be or who's going to be playing quarterback for the Bears, at first glance, it looks pretty daunting to me because they have to play the NFC West.
Yeah, I think that that's true. And I think also the AFC North, which is no easy task either. So two of the better divisions in the NFL to face, and which is why the schedule is rated as one of the tougher schedules around the league. And yeah, I think a lot of things struck me when I saw the schedule being released. And I think it's always a fun time when the schedule is released. However, I would say we don't necessarily need a three-hour schedule release show on NFL Network as they did when they released the schedule. That, a little bit of NFL PR overkill. And I know you always love to talk about the NFL being in the news year-round, and they find a way to do it and to try to even make the schedule exciting, which – I guess if you're talking about Tom Brady facing the Cowboys in the opener, that makes it kind of interesting. There's some sizzle to that, certainly. And then Brady and the Bucks going to New England week 4 for a Sunday night game. That's a can't-miss game for sure with Brady against Belichick and the Patriots. But, yeah, when I looked at the schedule from the Vikings standpoint, a lot of things kind of caught my attention quickly, starting with two on the road, which is never easy, and coming back with a couple of playoff caliber teams in Seattle and Cleveland at home. And so it'll be important, as it always is, to get off to a good start, unlike how the Twins are doing this year. But I think that the other thing that caught my attention was that stretch starting Halloween night on a Sunday night against the Cowboys here, a really tough 5-game stretch, Dallas at Baltimore, at the Chargers with Justin Herbert, then the Packers here and at San Francisco. That's a tough 5-game stretch right there. And I think that could tell a lot of the tale if they can stay in the hunt at that point in time. And then the other thing that I was looking at was I thought it would be an advantage for the Vikings to play the Packers and the Bears earlier than they are, partially because I'm still not sure Aaron Rodgers is going to be there. And Justin Fields at some point is going to take over for Andy Dalton. And so I think you'd rather face the Bears maybe earlier and also the Packers earlier if Jordan Love is their quarterback. And as it's turning out, they're not going to play either of those teams until the last 8 games of the season. And 3 of the last 4 are against Chicago and Green Bay, facing the Bears twice in the last 4 weeks. And by then you figure Fields will be a little more used to the offense and performing a little better, and probably will have supplanted Andy Dalton by that point in time. So I think that's a disadvantage. But overall, it's a tough schedule. But again, you just don't know how these teams are gonna fare and how it's going to play out. And I just remember what Bud Grant always said about schedules. It's not who you play, but when you play them and how healthy they are at the time. And what's going to be going on in Seattle this year, we don't know. We know Zimmer has never beaten Russell Wilson or Pete Carroll, but they've always played them in Seattle, it seems. Now they've got them here in week 3. And I sense a little discontent in Seattle these days, especially with Russell Wilson. So we'll see how that one plays out. And it'll be exciting when Kevin Stefanski, the coach of the Browns, returns here where he grew up as a coach. And so that'll be a fun game in week 4. And just the Cowboys are always interesting. Halloween night, that'll be exciting. And I'm just looking forward, Jim, to having hopefully full stadiums this fall. It was just so dreary to watch those games last year with those empty stadiums. and pumped in crowd noise. I hated that as most people did. And so hopefully as we get more people vaccinated and as everything continues to ease a little bit with the pandemic, we'll have these full stadiums this fall. And that'll be really the best thing that we could have.
Oh, no question about it. Let's talk about White Bear Lake Superstar. I also want to remind you that we've added Lavelle Neal to our baseball show, Chin Music, here at TalkNorth.com. I'm doing my own show now, Block and Muted with Jim Suhan. That is also added to our roster. We have great people across the board, Cheryl Reeve, Michael Russo, John Krasinski, on and on and on. And we also do the Viking Update Show with John Krasinski, and I do the Viking Update Show as well as the John Krasinski Show. So you have a couple of Viking options on the network. We survive because of our sponsors. We want to thank White Bear Lake Superstore, whitebearlakesuperstore.com.
Yeah, Jim, always excited to talk about the White Bear Lake Superstore, Buick GMC. My longtime friend, the owner, Paul Rubin, his general manager, Charlie Guttrell, their great staff, Minnesota's number one volume Buick GMC dealer, 6 years running, with the best selection and with their super friendly premium team. And check out that great website, WhiteBearLakeSuperstore.com, and you'll see the GMC Hummer EV SUV, the next all-electric super truck. And there's an offer up to 16% below MSRP on 2021 Buick SUVs and $4,500 purchase allowance plus $250 for current GMC or Buick owners lessees on 2021 GMC Sierra 1500 crew cab models, plus a $500 bonus cash when you finance through GM Financial. The White Bear Lake Superstore is the Quigley 4x4 van superstore, and they are a certified elite dealer. Only 7% of GM dealers make the cut. So visit in person at 3900 Highway 61 North in White Bear Lake or online at WhiteBearLakeSuperstore.com for all your vehicle needs and the premium experience. Buick GMC, we are professional grade. Shop pre-owned specials on one lot, thousands in savings. The White Bear Lake Superstore, Buick GMC.
So I remember last summer seeing a lot of videos of Justin Jefferson doing very intricate workouts. He just looked very quick. I didn't look at those workouts and think, oh boy, he's going to be rookie of the year. He's going to have this great season. But you could just tell that there was a little something there that was promising. It looks like Justin is working out pretty hard again this summer.
Yeah, he is. And I think what was really interesting is to hear about how he is studying the best receivers and trying to copy their moves. And he specifically mentioned Devontae Adams, who, as we know, is a dynamic receiver for the Packers, great quickness and runs great routes. And so mentioning also OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr., who we'll see here week 4, if he can stay healthy this year. And if the Browns don't trade him by then, we'll see. But certainly, OBJ was a dynamic receiver early in his career, and with that leaping ability and the great hands and running routes. And so I think that's exciting news for the Vikings and for Clint Kubiak, the new offensive coordinator, to be able to have Justin gearing up for the season. And so I think those are positive things too. I think it was interesting too, Jim, when we talk about the schedule. And one of the things that surprised me a little bit was that the Vikings were given 4 primetime games, which is a little unusual for a team coming off 7-9. But I think the NFL projects this team and sees the players coming back, like Danielle Hunter and Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks missed the last 5 games, and Michael Pierce opted out, and a seemingly good draft led by Christian Darrisaw. And just the skill position strength of this team with Justin Jefferson, with Adam Thielen, with Dalvin Cook, and the tight ends. And so I think they do project that the Vikings should be in the hunt, should be potentially a playoff team. And they probably also checked out Mike Zimmer's record. And isn't it every other year that he makes the playoffs? So he's due this year. So I think that was interesting to have 4 primetime games, which is always exciting for a franchise.
Yeah, it's a interesting schedule. As somebody who travels a lot with the team, I certainly welcome San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Arizona, and Carolina. Looks good to me. One thing I don't like, Jeff, and this is purely selfish, but it also kind of plays into the Vikings view too. I know that cold weather games at Lambeau were very atmospheric and look cool on TV. I'd rather go to Lambeau in September myself.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And yeah, facing them on January 2nd, that has the potential to be an awful day in Green Bay and even Chicago, December 20th in Chicago. Neither of those are real attractive as far as schedule wise for the Vikings, and especially, as we said, with their offense. And so they're going to need to get that defense geared up by then and have the running game going, have Dalvin Cook healthy at that point in time in Madison, because those are the keys to winning those cold weather games. It's hard to throw the ball under those conditions. And so, but you're right. Certainly not the most advantageous for especially a dome team to be heading on into Green Bay and Chicago that late in the season.
So I offered my views of Tim Tebow on Blocked and Muted, but you're the expert. Tell me what you think of Tim Tebow getting an invitation to training camp as a 33-year-old tight end who's never played tight end before.
Yeah, I think it's Tim Tebow certainly is a great story and a personality and obviously a great athlete, but he hasn't played football in whatever 4 or 5 years. Been playing baseball. And it's just really hard to see him coming back and being a productive player at a position he's never played before. I don't see him being the next Taysom Hill, for example, a multi-diversified player at that age. But we know that Urban Meyer loves him from their Florida days. And so he'll be given every opportunity. And I've seen him work out. Our players with IFA used to work out at a facility in Arizona where Tim worked out. And I've seen how hard he works. And he's got a lot of pride. So I wouldn't put it past him to make the Jags roster. And let's face it, the Jaguars roster is not real strong. So there could be opportunity. But, yeah, I don't see him being a Pro Bowl tight end at this stage of his career. Be very doubtful. And I think he may last 1 year there, perhaps. But who knows? Maybe he'll surprise us. Stranger things have happened in pro sports and in the NFL. But, yeah, this one's a little surprising.
I'm even more dubious than you are. I just don't think people understand, or maybe they do. NFL tight ends are incredible athletes. They can – they're big, they're strong, they're fast, they're agile, they can run routes, they have good hands, and they can block – defensive ends, and they can outrun linebackers. I don't think Tebow can block a defensive end, and I don't think he can outrun a linebacker, especially not at 33 after being a bad baseball player for 5 years.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. As I said, I think the thing may swing into Urban Meyer loves him and may keep him around and from the personality, leadership, and all that. But like I said, that may only last 1 year. I'll be surprised if he's a long-term player and a productive player at tight end. For the reasons you say, it's just a difficult position, a very specialized position. And let's face it, he's not Kyle Pitts coming out in the draft. No. and he's not Gronk.
He's not Kyle Rudolph.
No, he's not Kyle Rudolph, exactly. And so, or Irv Smith Jr. or Tyler Conklin.
Yeah.
But we'll see how that one plays out. It'll be fun to watch, but I'm not sure we'll be seeing much of the Jaguars on TV.
No, good. The thing is about the Jaguars is, and this is why the NFL always wins, Jaguars might not be good, but they'll be interesting. I mean, watching Trevor Lawrence, watching that draft class, seeing if Urban Meyer can put things together, seeing if Tebow can make the field. I mean, they will be interesting. I just don't know if they'll be good.
No, exactly right. I think we'll only see them maybe one time on national TV, which is the mandatory Thursday night game. So it's, I have a hard time seeing them being real good and facing a couple tough teams in our division, the Colts and the Titans, will be tough for them. But maybe they can split with Houston, because Houston's a mess too.
Oh, no question about it. Let's wrap up today with just your update on Aaron Rodgers, and if you see anything new there, if you see anything, you know, trending in a way that's going to be decisive.
Yeah, I think it's been a little bit quiet in recent days, and I think what's been interesting is seeing some of his former teammates coming out and speaking and saying, hey, I think that this thing could be salvaged. And where is that coming from? Is that coming from Aaron's camp? Is he trying to get a contract extension out of this deal, become the highest paid player in the NFL, which I think the Packers would probably do on a short-term deal. But I think he's going to be looking for a 4 or 5 year deal. I don't see them extending him out that long, especially when they're sitting there with a first-round quarterback. backing him up in Jordan Love. And then they go and sign Blake Bortles, which kind of throws another interesting wrench into the deal. Are they trying to hedge their bet in terms of Rodgers perhaps being traded after June 1st? I just don't see this as a long-term situation where he's going to be there. He might be there this year when they've still got $38 million of dead money hit. But I think by next year, it's pretty obvious that they're going to be moving on from Aaron Rodgers. And as we said before, the Vikings would love to see it happen immediately, and so would the rest of the NFC North. And I still think there's a reasonable chance that he may be moved and possibly still to Denver, perhaps after June 1st, where they can spread that cap hit over 2 years. But I think it's the same situation with Russell Wilson in Seattle. I just don't see a long-term marriage with those teams and those players with everything that's gone on. And similar to Deshaun Watson in Houston, where the Texans have drafted potentially his successor, it's just kind of the way it is today in the NBA, the NFL, where players are trying to call their shots. And we know Watson's got plenty of other issues too to deal with, but I just don't see those guys long-term at their current teams.
Next week on my Blocked Media show, I have Blake Barrett, who works with he runs IFA, the local agency that represents Adam Thielen, Tyler Johnson, Rashad Bateman, and all that. Looking forward to that conversation, and it's always great to catch up with Jeff. Let Jeff give us a final thought. Thanks again to our producer, Brandon Morton. Thanks again to White Bear Lake Superstore, whitebearlakesuperstore.com.
Well, I guess my final thoughts today, going back to Burnsy, and again, Jerry Burns, one of the great legends in Vikings history. And I think back to 1984 when Les Stecker was selected as head coach over Burnsy, and how disappointed he was at that time when he thought he was going to be the successor to Bud Grant. And as it turned out, of course, Les had one kind of disastrous season, and then Bud returned for 1 year and then turned over the reins to Burnsy in 86. And I'll always remember one of my favorite times in my NFL career was that playoff run in 87 with Burnsy as the coach, when we went into New Orleans after the strike year and went into New Orleans and upset the Saints, and then out to San Francisco, beat the 49ers, who were the number one seed, Joe Montana, Bill Walsh, et cetera, and then almost went to the Super Bowl, lost in the last seconds against Washington. That was a great year. That was the highlight of Burnsy's coaching career, and he did a fantastic job that year. So just a lot of great memories of Jerry Burns, and send my condolences, as we all do, to Marlon and his family.
Yeah, thanks for that, Jeff. I appreciate it. I'll miss Burnsy. Thank you to everyone who listens to this show and this network. We will be back next week with more Vikings and NFL news.